Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This Senator Bernie Sanders just unveiled a new bill to establish a four-day work week. If he did this 8 years ago, he'd be finishing up his second term as president.
This morning, we are going to be talking about an issue that is very rarely discussed in the halls of Congress or the Senate, and that is the need to reduce the standard work week in the United States.
Very rarely talked about because it's not going to happen. The need to reduce the standard work week in the United States. But it's still a very interesting conversation, especially when it's being led by a self-described socialist like Bernie Sanders.
In fact, the last time, as we understand it, the Senate held a hearing on this subject was in the year 1955. So I think maybe the time is now to renew that discussion.
That's one possibility. It could be that, you know, it hasn't been talked about in so long, and therefore we need to talk about it. It could also be that it hasn't been talked about in so long, and that's because we got it right.
Here is something I believe that most people in our country do not know. In 1933, the United States Senate overwhelmingly passed legislation to establish a 30-hour work week by a vote of 53-30. That was 1933. While that legislation ultimately failed as a result of intense opposition from corporate America, a few years later, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Fair Labor Standards Act into law, and a 40-hour work week was established in 1940. My friends, in 1940.
1940. That's when they established that. just Bernie's a funny guy to listen to talk. So they asked for 30 and they got a 40, right? I mean, that's, you know, ask for the bike, but settle for the skateboard, I guess.
Unbelievably, 84 years later, despite massive growth in technology and worker productivity, millions of workers in our country are working longer hours for lower wages.
So one Bernie Sanders later, 84 years. He's actually, I think he's 82, 81. Biden, same age. One Joe Biden later. You know, massive productivity increases, but nobody's got significantly better work hours. I'm letting him have his say. I'm going to come back and critique here in just a minute.
Today in America, 28.5 million Americans, 18% of our workforce, now work over 60 hours a week. And 40% of employees in America now work at least 50 hours a week.
Presumably because working only 40 hours a week doesn't pay well enough, or they're in, you know, non-hourly positions where we work more. And, you know, for those of us, I mean, I work well more than that, and okay, you know, by choice. I enjoy it. I value the work, and I think it's important, and I like doing it, and so I work more. You know, I don't get paid by the hour, so I don't get extra money. The extra meeting that I listen to at hour number 67 of the week, you know, on a Thursday. But so what? You know, I think that it makes the product better. It makes me a better host, teacher, community participant, whatever you want to call it, right? So you get a better workout. You get a better product when you're listening to the radio in the morning, theoretically, because I don't only work 40 hours a week.
In 2022, employees in the United States, and I hope people hear this, log 204 more hours a year than employees in Japan, and they're hardworking people in Japan. 279 more hours than people and workers in the United Kingdom, and 470 more hours than workers in Germany.
Which is a lot. The question is, do we get anything for it? Is there productivity value for it? Would you rather live in Germany or Japan or somewhere else?
Despite these long hours, the average worker in America makes almost $50 a week less than he or she did 50 years ago after adjusting for inflation.
Less! Just, I love the way he speaks. Okay, last one, and then I'll give you some thoughts, okay?
As a result of the extraordinary technological transformations that we have seen in recent years, American workers are now over 400 percent more productive than they were in the 1940s. Extraordinary. Technology has made working people far more productive. And what has been the result of all of that productivity increase for working people? Almost all of the economic gains of that technological transformation have gone straight to the top, while wages for workers have remained stagnant or even worse.
False. That statement is false. Now, it's not necessarily false on a numerical basis, as in, you know, if you just look at the numbers and you compare numbers now to numbers then of, you know, income. I don't even care to get into the question of whether his numbers are right. I think he's completely missing the point. He says, and this is a repeated talking point in the conversation that was had in the Senate about a month ago, is that, you know, American workers are 400% more productive than they were one Bernie Sanders ago. Okay? And I say, yeah. And he says, but yet they're not getting a greater paycheck. And I say, that's not the only way you measure quality of life. I'll explain in a moment. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are driving on West Roberts Road and US 29 in Cantonment, unknown roadblock, but there was a vehicle crash earlier, so please drive with caution. And North Navy Boulevard and Coast Road in Pensacola, again, no roadblock, but there was a vehicle crash earlier. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good, and if you are on Highway 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smoothly. If you do see anything else on the road that we should be reporting, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So let's just grant the premises of the opponent. Let's grant that wages have stayed stagnant, and let's grant that Americans work more hours than anywhere else. Okay, whatever. It's fine. Question is, are we living worse off because of it? Well, I would say we're living better off because of it. General question, is America a highly innovative country over the course of history? You have to say yes, right? Do we produce more breakthroughs, technological developments, patents, whether it's medicine or computers or anything else? Yeah, I mean, massive amounts of that, right? Okay. And what effect does that have on our quality of life? A very good effect. Compare your quality of life today versus your quality of life, say, you know, again, a Bernie Sanders ago or a Joe Biden ago in 1940. Or, you know, go a little shorter than that. Go 1950, okay? How does your car today compare to your car then? It's faster, brakes faster, is safer, consumes less gas than it did before, and it has all kinds of features that you enjoy more than the car back then. Would you rather have the 7 miles an hour car from 1950? Or would you rather have the car of today that actually has an FM radio in it, for example? You know, right? Which one would you rather have? How about your computer? Would you rather have the computer of 1950, the room that it took and processed 3 punch cards an hour? Or would you rather have anything you can buy at Goodwill for $50? I mean, you can go to the, you know, any store, buy a brand new computer today that has more computing power than existed in the entire world of 40 years ago. Right? And everybody can buy one. Who doesn't have a computer? Right? Cell phone. How does your cell phone of today compare to your cell phone of 1950? What do you mean they didn't have cell phones? Oh, because the technology allowed a new way of doing things that wasn't possible before and is continually making it possible to do more and more things in a more convenient way that were not able to be done before? Now, they did have planes before, and I don't know whether I want to get into the argument of Boeing being safer or not today than back then, but, you know, across the board, technology makes it possible. Consider TV. Would you rather have your 60-inch, 70-inch, 80-inch plasma screen TV of today or your 15-inch rabbit ears, black and white, 153-pounder of 1950? And by the way, what channels? 3 versus unlimited? See, the problem with his analysis is that it doesn't account for 2 really important things that technology does. There are 2 kinds of technology in the world. Type of technology number 1 is it allows you to do a thing you couldn't do before. Okay? Carry a phone in your pocket is doing a thing you couldn't do before. Right? Number 2 technology, it allows you to do a thing more efficiently that you could do before. Now you can do it in a completely more efficient way, okay? You used to have to go to the store and buy a record, a 45 probably, take it home, put it on your record player, right? And now you can do that thing on the internet in 2 seconds with a click of the mouse, right? You can Spotify, right? Music instantly available. So technology is always making more things available that weren't available before. You know, a small example of this is that, for example, people don't realize that, like, television benefits poor people, not rich people. Because rich people can pay for entertainment. Rich people can go to the theater or have the theater come to them. TV is theater in your house, right? So you get access to an abundance of theater anytime you want it from your couch. 200 years ago, the only people who had theater were super rich people, right? That's a form of technology, right? Okay, so it benefits your life. Okay, so back to Bernie Sanders. He says that wages haven't gone up. Yeah, but what can you buy for those wages? Now, granted, when it comes to certain things, like, for example, the price of a gallon of gasoline or a gallon of milk or, you know, a pound of chicken, okay, the inflation, because those things haven't changed a lot over time. But when it comes to a computer, a flat screen, a TV, a cell phone, medical technology that didn't even exist 50 years ago, do you want to go back and have your labor and delivery 50 years ago? I don't think so. The quality of life has changed dramatically. That money buys better things by far than it ever bought before. So in the process of working the same hours and getting, even if he's right, the same money, we live a much better life because of technology today. And I think his argument overlooks that. I don't think his argument takes account of that. Oh, and why do you have technology? Because you have a thing called intellectual property rights, because you have a thing called capitalism, where a person can say to himself, you know what I want to do? I want to put some stuff together in my garage that nobody else has, and then I want to go sell that, and people will pay me for it, and eventually I'll have Apple or Microsoft. You know, I that's what you get from having a capitalist environment with innovation, is you get a reason for people to create a product or service, voluntarily transact it with you for money. If they do that often enough, they accumulate money. They become billionaires. By hurting people? No, by benefiting everybody. Millions of times over and over in repeated transactions. Okay, so all I'm saying that is the measurement device of we're more productive but we're not seeing it is a bad measurement perspective. There's other issues here. And by the way, there are good arguments for reducing the work week. There are arguments for making a four-day week, you know, 4-10s instead of 5-8s. There are also good arguments for cutting hours. In a lot of cases, I think it would make sense to cut hours. You might get productivity gains. You might get people staying in your company longer. You might get happier employees. You might. All of that, okay? But if it's true, there's nothing prohibiting an employer from trying it today. You don't need a federal mandate to impose that. They can do it on their own.
Thank you, Chair Sanders. A 32-hour work week with no loss in pay. My staff has volunteered to be the test case for that. I mean, like, who wouldn't want it? It's free money, if you will. No loss in pay, but you work a lot less. But in reality, there is no free lunch. Workers would be the ones who would pay, not get paid extra.
Because either you have layoffs or maybe because you charge extra money, because it's not like the money just comes from nowhere, right? That's Bill Cassidy, the ranking member of the Republicans on the committee that was hearing this about a month ago.
Government mandating a 32-hour work week requiring businesses to increase pay at least an extra 25% per hour would, frankly, destroy some employers. They would ship those jobs overseas, or they would automate to replace those workers for whom they have an increased expense, or they would dramatically increase prices to make to stay afloat. Now, we've talked about the Biden economics leading to inflation. This would be napalm upon the fire of inflation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Those price increases would have to be passed on to somebody somewhere.
Now, if a business wants to voluntarily try a 32-hour work week for themselves, federal law allows it. We don't have to mandate. And we will hear from a business today that does that. So if an employer thinks it's good for their business, makes them more competitive, go for it. We think that's a good thing. But by the way, I'll note that the chair has not done that with his staff. Why? Because there's a certain amount of work required for the continuity of the work. That's just basic.
Bernie Sanders thinks it's a great idea to cut work from 40 hours to 32 hours a week. Do it with your staff and see how it goes. I mean, lead by example, right?
There is a reason that no other country has a mandatory 32-hour work week. When Japan shortened its work week from 46 to 30 hours between 1988 and 1996, economic output plummeted 20%. Belgium, as the chair notes, has a four-day work week, but those workers work 40 hours within those 4 days.
Yeah, and either of those models might work, one with productivity losses, the other with just condensing work days, which 3-day work weekend, I mean, I can see the value. There's a lot of people would prefer to have that. But the overall reduction by mandate at no pay reduction, that's essentially a pay raise. And if you want to make that happen, that money's going to have to come from somewhere. And a lot of the statistics that were given over the course of this hearing depended on these companies existing in an environment where there were also those companies. You know, the happiness of workers getting a 32-hour work week partially is because they know not everybody has it. Point Jimmy made to me in the break. It was a very good point that compared to other companies, you can sell yourself as having an advantage. But what if everybody has it? All of a sudden, it's not an advantage. Nobody's happy anymore. They're just working less and paying more for higher-priced goods. 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I've been waiting for talk about this for a while because I thought it was a really interesting topic, and I wanted to kind of share it with you this morning. We got some texts. We'll get to them after the break. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are on West Roberts Road in US 29 in Cantonment, there was a vehicle crash earlier. Unknown roadblock, but please use caution in the area. And North Navy Boulevard and Coast Road in Pensacola. No roadblock, but there was a vehicle crash, so please drive with caution. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's strength for life.
The calendar tells us that today is Earth Day, and this day provides an appropriate time for us to look at God's creation and to thank Him for the beauty of this earth. Think with me about God creating the sun and the moon, which provide day and night for the earth. Think about the size of the oceans across the planet. About 71% of the earth's surface is water. Yet consider the land that God created with the beautiful grass and flowers and fruit trees. Think about the seasons and the blessings of winter, spring, summer, and fall. Marvel at the birds in the air and the fish in the sea. Consider the cattle and the majestic beasts of the earth. And with all that in mind, remember that God describes the earth as His footstool. Isn't that incredible? As big and as glorious as the earth is to us, it is merely God's footstool. What a mighty God we serve.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
One, the Pensacola Navy Days 4K is Saturday, May 18th at 8:15. This inaugural fun run starts at Community Maritime Park and runs along Bayfront, down to Veterans Park, and back to Community Maritime Park. Register now and receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days challenge coin and a race t-shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Community Maritime Park, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't know what to do with these guys. I beg, I plead, I try to be a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. I don't... Huh?
They're kids. Scare them.
Good morning, 729 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Let's go into the newsroom. David Wayne is our headlines. David?
Well, they're preparing for the start of Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York today. The judge says prosecutors will not have to give advance notice of the witness list to Trump's legal team. The jury's now been set. They'll hear from prosecutors and defense lawyers today. First time a former president has ever faced a criminal trial.
What? They don't have to give the witness list? That's, isn't that a basic part of discovery so that you can prepare your questions for
somebody? That's what I thought, too, but that's what I'm seeing here.
That's super bizarre. Okay.
After three attempts to unionize, Volkswagen employees in Tennessee joining the UAW, the National Labor Relations Board says 2,600 employees there voted in favor of unionization last week. And the NFL draft now just a few days away, Andrew. That kicks off Thursday in Detroit, and the Chicago Bears get the first pick this year.
All right, very good. Thanks so much, David. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Alabama has taken, possibly, they're considering taking a farther step in the direction of book restrictions, materials restrictions in libraries. They maybe they're considering it this week. Two bills that would eliminate the exemption for librarians who give adult material to minors. Not in schools, but in regular libraries. We'll talk about that coming back in a minute after David and after Fox News.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Police are at Yale University to break up pro-Palestinian protesters setting up camp overnight. Classes at Columbia University are remote today. The Passover Jewish holiday starts tonight, marked by President Biden in a statement.
The president issued a statement saying, "We must speak out against the alarming surge of anti-Semitism," adding, "Silence is complicity." He also singled out colleges, saying anti-Semitism has no place on college campuses or anywhere in our country.
Fox's Jill Nato. Opening statement starts soon at former President Trump's criminal trial in New York.
Today it kicks off. The people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump. Prosecutors will finally completely reveal their hand, and the defense will push back against that. 34 counts involve filing false business records.
Fox's Derek Shawn. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Well, get used to seeing construction zones on I-10 work. They're going to be ongoing until at least 2030. FDOT's now been started working on the massive $236 million complete redesign of the Highway 29 interchange. That project, including 7 miles of pavement, building 8 different bridges, including a railroad bridge and the Palafox Street overpass. The roads will stay open through the duration of construction, but you will see some lane closures, especially at night. The speed limit will be cut back to 50 miles an hour as well from scenic to 9 mile. The first lane closures are going to begin later tonight. That'll run through the end of the week. Crews are going to be building a temporary barrier wall. Escambia County officials say 2 people were taken to the hospital in critical condition after a crash on Sunday. That happened at the intersection of Navy and State Road 752. FHP says the 2 people were in a Chevy Tahoe and ran off the road, hit an electronic crosswalk sign and a fence. Then the vehicle rolled. The 2 occupants were identified as a 32-year-old woman and a 41-year-old man, both of Pensacola. There's no word yet on their current condition. It'll be 20 years in prison for a Pensacola woman charged in a fatal head-on crash. 20-year-old Sarah Hudson was given that sentence for a crash that killed 2 people in January of 2022. FHP says Hudson was speeding with a passenger in her vehicle, then crossed the center line and collided with a pickup truck head-on. Her passenger and the driver of the truck both died as a result of that crash. Troopers say Hudson was driving about 85 miles an hour in a 55 zone. She remains in the Escambia County Jail, waiting to be extradited to a state prison. Well, security's beefed up at synagogues across the state as Jewish people prepare for the start of Passover at sundown. Evan Levitt with the Jewish Student Union says the holiday falls as the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas continues, and also there's been a wave of anti-Semitism in the U.S.
It's an unfortunate place to be. I know that my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and one of my grandfathers, they both came to this country to escape them.
The Anti-Defamation League says last year the number of anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. outpaced the all-time high that was set in 2022. Well, President Joe Biden will be in Florida tomorrow to discuss abortion rights. He'll be in Tampa. No details on his trip have been announced. A poll last week by Florida Atlantic University did show Donald Trump was leading Biden by about 8 points, although some political analysts believe there could be a chance the state may be in play this November. And the 19th annual Charity 5K Run was held at Booker T. Washington High School over the weekend. The money raised is going to the Communities Caring at Christmas campaign.
So this charity is really important to us at Washington because we're a Title I school, and we, you know, see that kind of poverty and underprivileged nature prevalent in our school. And it's really important to us to, as we live in the midst of it, be able to give back to that.
That is Lindsay Lawrence, the school's SGA president. She talked with Channel 3 and says, with a lot of the students there being younger, they know the importance of kids having presents to open on Christmas. This is the fourth year in a row the school's teamed up with WEAR to raise money for that program. It is 735 at News Radio, and Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
This traffic report is brought to you by Frontier Motors. If you were on North Navy Boulevard and Coast Road in Pensacola, no roadblock, but there was a vehicle crash earlier, and on West Roberts Road and US 29 in Cantonment. Unknown roadblock, but there was a vehicle crash as well, so please use caution in the area. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have beautiful sunny skies today with temperatures warming up near 73 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. We're going to be seeing the sunshine continue for your Tuesday, high near 74 degrees. Lows Tuesday night, 57. Warm up for Wednesday, sunny skies, high near 78. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Absolutely beautiful morning right now. A little bit chilly possibly, though. It is 53 degrees in Pensacola, 50 in Gulf Breeze, and 51 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Verizon says it lost fewer than expected wireless subscribers in the first quarter thanks to its flexible plans and streaming bundles offering discounts for services such as Netflix and Max. The U.S. telecom firm lost 68,000 monthly wireless subscribers between January and March. That is compared to the 100,000 expected. The firm reported total revenue of $33 billion for the first 3 months of the year. Smart cities are locations that apply technology to enhance the benefits and diminish the shortcomings of urbanization for its citizens. Are popping up and improving all over. Most of the top smart cities are in Europe, and zero U.S. cities made the top 10 list. Some of the top smart cities include London, Singapore, and Zurich, Switzerland. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 211, the NASDAQ lost 319, and the S&P 500 down 43. That's your money now.
Climatech. Heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
Hello again, everybody. Travis Thompson here with Climatech of Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Summer is almost here, and that means a lot of us will experience air conditioning issues. If you happen to need a new comfort system, we'd like to announce the very best opportunity that we've ever been able to offer to our customers. For a limited time, every system we sell qualifies for an instant rebate. Our high-efficiency systems qualify for instant rebates up to $4,000, and with tax incentives available, your savings could amount to as much as $6,000. This is without a doubt the best opportunity we've ever been able to offer. So give me a call to learn more or visit our website at climatechproair.com.
Climatech. Heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
Donald Trump Jr. here. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but you can stop your losses by diversifying into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold now.
Message and data rates may apply.
Severe weather can strike at any time. Anytime.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
Anytime.
Looking at the map here, this is west of Bellevue, pushing eastward across West Pensacola.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Let me tell you.
deals on the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Alabama lawmakers are considering a bill that would charge librarians for putting what is deemed to be explicit material on bookshelves. Right now in Alabama, it's a crime to knowingly distribute obscene content to minors, with the exception of public libraries. The Supplying Minors bill would remove that exemption. Dr. Nancy Pack is the director of the Alabama Public Library Service, and she says the bill would unfairly limit librarians.
I'm sure that if this bill does pass, I'm sure we will have librarians who will be incarcerated and will do it in the name of doing their job.
The Supplying Minors Library Bill is expected to be discussed on the Alabama House floor in the coming week.
Yeah, there's actually two bills, HB 425, sponsored by Representative Ernie Yarborough of Trinity, and HB 385 by Representative Arnold Mooney of Indian Springs, removing the criminal exemption status for libraries and librarians. So the way this works right now is that the law currently prohibits distributing sexual content to minors, which it defines as any material, including physical, digital, or audio material that includes content regarding sexual conduct, sexuality, or gender ideology that the average individual applying contemporary community standards would find inappropriate for a minor to consume without the permission of his or her parent or guardian. So, you know, if you work in a bookstore, you work in a convenience store, grocery gas station or something like that, you know, and the kid tries to buy something that's theoretically, you know, behind some cover, you know, it's got naked women, and it's a fairly common example of this. And he's 15. You know, why would it always be a he? Because it is. be honest. You know, if you sell that to him, you can have a criminal penalty because of that. And rightly so, because somebody's got to take the responsibility for enforcing the law, protecting the kids from buying that kind of stuff. Right? That makes perfect sense. Okay? Right now, though, if you give that same content to a kid and you are a librarian because you check them out a movie that's like, I don't know, PG-13. Have you seen PG-13 movies lately? Or certainly are. Well, right now there's an exemption in the law for you. This would remove that exemption. So now all of a sudden, librarians are going to be subject to jail time up to a year and a financial penalty up to $10,000 because they rented, I mean, every movie in the universe. Right? How many R-rated movies have nudity in them? Or have, you know, discussions about sexuality in them, right? I mean, loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of movies, right? Because you may not have noticed this, but libraries rent movies. They, you know, they check out movies to you. They loan movies all the time. And I'm not even considering, you know, like pornographic literature, which is, you know, a lot of literature. I mean, a lot of books have descriptions of sexual behavior. And a lot of kids discover that in reading books, they find, you know, descriptions, let's just say. You would have to essentially take so much stuff off the shelves in order to accommodate this. Now, we've been having in Florida this conversation about school libraries, which is, in a lot of ways, a different matter. Because now, you know, you would rightly ask the question, well, why do they need a lot of this stuff in the school library, since the school library is theoretically only going to be used by school-age students? And they can, you know, the argument has always been, well, they can always go to the bookstore or they can always go to the library. And there is a certain sense in which, you know, you want somebody to be the kind of the gatekeeper of minors, right? In some sense, that's true. But in another sense, do you want to be throwing librarians in jail? Do you want to take the little old ladies that staff all of your libraries? Because it's always little old ladies that staff libraries. You know, there's the occasional not little old lady, but it's always, right? It's always women. 95% of the staff at libraries is women. And they're usually, you know, quiet, diligent, wonderful women. I know all the librarians at our local library, and they're all fabulous. And I can't for the life of me imagine a case where we would want to throw any of them in jail for this. But that's what Alabama is proposing. And look, I'm with you when you want to take sexually explicit material out of the K through 6 library in a school. I'm absolutely with you. And when you tell me that you don't want to talk about, you know, sexual orientation with classroom materials for K through six, I'm with you. And later, when you say, let's make it K through 12, I start to get uncomfortable because I think that, you know, these pre-adults explore the world and learn how to encounter it through literature. And I don't want the most conservative social parent in the community deciding what every kid will have access to in their school library at the age of 16 or 17 or even 18. But I generally go with you. I generally vote for that because it's still school. It's still minors. Okay. K through 6? Yes. K through 12? Okay. Public library? You have got to be out of your flipping mind. Did you not see that First Amendment? I mean, yes, I know the 12-year-old doesn't have a right. I get it. I'm just talking from a practicality standpoint. What are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, put curtains and beads across the adult? I mean, they actually call it the adult section, right? It'd be kind of funny. You know, you're going to, adults only, behind the curtain. Kids, show me some idea before you go in the back room of the library and check out every young adult fiction book there is. Or every PG-13 plus movie there is. Right? Is that what this is going to look like? Oh, maybe you say that's good. That's better. This is not the real threat, right? The librarian is not the real threat. The phone is the threat. The computer is the threat. Your home router is the threat, right? In the grand scheme of things. So, no, I'm not on board with this. And, of course, if Alabama does pass it, you've got to figure that conservative legislatures in Texas and Florida are going to race to see who can, you know, out-conservative Alabama. So, yeah, this just... No. No! Stop! You know, be a better parent, encourage better parents. Again, you know, young kids in schools, fine. But you generally have responded to those laws by saying, well, they can still go to the library. And now you want to make it so they can't still go to the library, right? Kind of the idea. 437-1620, Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. And by the way, feel free to disagree with me, as always, 437-1620, Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you were on West Roberts Road and US 29 in Cantonment, there was a vehicle crash earlier, unknown roadblock, but please use caution in the area. And North Navy Boulevard and Coast Road in Pensacola, again, vehicle crash earlier, no roadblock in that area. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need to work on a home improvement project, you need to get supplies, or you need to get advice, Pensacola Hardware, they've been doing this since 1851, which is amazing. 173 years, it's amazing. And right now, they are having the end-of-season blowout on heaters and fireplace accessories while supplies last. They have fireplace screens, ceramic heaters, outdoor fireplaces, LP gas heaters, infrared heaters, fireplace tools, Hotshot SS outdoor fireplaces, propane convection heaters, electric tower heaters, all available at 20 East Gregory Street, right downtown. Again, while supplies last, but hey, go get yourself some deals. You know, now is the time as it gets warm. They sell the warm stuff, right? That's the idea. Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. A couple of very interesting texts coming in. Just want to share those with you. Again, my take on this is, look, if you try to make it so librarians face a $10,000 or 1 year in jail penalty for allowing a minor to have access to adult materials, I mean, what you'll basically do is you'll either get rid of all of those materials in the library, which is going to be half the collection, or you're going to make it so librarians quit their jobs, and with all the money they're raking in as librarians right now, you know what I mean? Or you're going to turn the library into like the adult bookstore where you can have a bouncer and take an IDs. It's just such a crazy wingnut way to approach this problem. Is, again, the average phone in the average teenager's hands on Instagram, TikTok, even if they dare go on Facebook, Snapchat, just go online, they can access more stuff than you ever dreamed of being able to be available in the library. That's why, actually, I think the 18 age verification for pornographic websites in Florida, that's actually kind of a smart, like, we're trying that. And that's not going to solve it all, but it's a something. Anyway, I told you there were texts here. Somebody here says, Well, as much as librarians get paid, watch them all decide to not be librarians anymore. Right. We won't have libraries. Somebody says, could Alabama be the start of an entire new book ban era, which reminds me of World War II era Germany? Yeah, the worst things start with controlling ideas, right? I'm not saying it would be that. I'm saying it sort of feels weirdly like that. Like, you know, Republicans, we, okay, love to be upset when people call us fascists. But, you know, one of the kind of the trade-offs of that is you got to not be a fascist. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it advocates duck laws, be careful. Somebody says, I think exposing a child to porn is already illegal, even if it's in a library. Right. And, of course, then the definition of prurient materials would be the question, right? Have you not read books? All of the romance books have to go. It's porn for women. Okay. Pictures for men, words for women. It's porn for women. Okay. Have you not read any? Come on. It doesn't have to be Lady Chatterley's Lover. There's a lot of books that have descriptions of sexual activity. Lots and lots of books. Somebody says, Andrew, how can they do this with books when everybody has the internet and a phone at the age of 12? Exactly. Somebody says, having attended the most restrictive evangelical school in the area, I will let you know that kids will find a way. Also true. How many of you knew kids that were raised in restrictive environments? Were they kept safe from all the stuff? I mean, oh, man. And by the way, I will just as a, I don't know, for sake of honesty and confession, like I was raised in a very liberal environment. And by the way, I don't raise my kids the same way my mom raised me. Okay. I think she was too permissive with me. I absolutely do. But it doesn't mean that I think that the answer is this full-fledged, like hyper-conservative restrictions, because those kids never learn how to handle adult temptations. They tend to explode when they turn 18 and go to college, and all of a sudden they're sequestered on Temptation Island with a bunch of other people who have also been repressed their whole lives. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. Anyway, 437-1620, somebody says, how about parents just be better parents and stop expecting the schools, the libraries, and everybody else to raise them? Now, I mean, there's a partnership here. Okay, there is a partnership. You expect the gas station not to sell. You expect the bookstore not to sell. And it's not crazy to expect the library to exert some discretion. But the notion that, you know, some librarian rents a DVD to a kid that's got nipples in it, and all of a sudden that librarian's facing $10,000 in a year in jail? Are you kidding? Or a discussion about gender ideology? Are you kidding? You must be kidding. Because you can't be a serious person if that's what you're saying. And that does seem like what this law would say. 752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are needing an air conditioning service or a heater service or plumbing or electrical, anything in this regard, Peden will take care of you. Professional service, they do it right the first time. They show up on time. Their highly skilled techs will stand by their work, and it's a 100% satisfaction guarantee, so you know it's going to be good. And part of the issue with them servicing so many different things and doing so well at it is they've been expanding all the way to Tallahassee, and all the way west, last year to Baldwin County, and now into Mobile County. They are, I mean, everywhere locally. And this month, okay, right now, this month, you get $250 off indoor air quality systems through the month of April. So whatever the kind of service that you need, Peden, PEADEN.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Autotrader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Autotrader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and Autotrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage, playing classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies, all in their own style. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Number 5 is alive.
So we just rewatched Short Circuit over the weekend. And also Short Circuit 2. One of those decisions was a good one. I think on IMDb, Short Circuit is like a 7.5, and Short Circuit 2 is like a 3.5, and we failed to check first. So, yeah. We watch a lot of TV, a lot of movies, and at the end of this one, I turned to my wife and said, well, we definitely watched that. Jimmy's got traffic on the 5s.
If you were on Gulf Beach Highway and Bainbridge Avenue in Pensacola, please drive with caution. There was a crash in the area. North Navy Boulevard, Coast Road in Pensacola, vehicle crash as well. And West Roberts Road in US 29 in Cantonment, unknown roadblock, but please use caution in the area. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Oh, and by the way, somebody texts in and says, Andrew, while everybody's in Alabama, or at least some people in Alabama, are considering this idea of punishing librarians, have you just watched TV lately? Like broadcast TV. Oh, no, that's right. Reality programs, Naked and Afraid, MILF Island, all of that. I mean, there's like, it's an unlimited torrent of disgusting material on TV. Now, that does not mean that if one area is bad, that we ought to define down deviance to include everything else is okay. But, I mean, we've kind of long since given up on the idea of public decency, in my opinion. 7:57, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I don't think I'd seen that island on my map. For the first time in American history, prosecutors will present opening statements today in a criminal case against a former president. Manhattan's Democratic district attorney says he plans to challenge Donald Trump's credibility if he takes the stand. Alvin Bragg says he plans to bring up Trump's other legal battles. Several more arrests were made at Columbia University over the weekend after pro-Palestinian protests. Police say protesters returned to the campus over the weekend to support students continuing to stay outside with sleeping bags and books. This is after more than 100 people were taken into custody last week after a clash with police, and Columbia has gone all virtual school today because of this whole situation.
Yeah.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced their performers that will be inducted as part of this year's Hall of Fame class. Here's one notable inclusion. Cher making the list this year. Also,
this is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go on. Yep. I'm listening.
Also on the list, though, Foreigner.
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige. Peter Frampton, Ozzy Osbourne, Kool and the Gang, the Dave Matthews Band, and A Tribe Called Quest.
I'd say about half of those should be eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the other half are just famous musicians.
Yeah,
but
I think
that
that's
argument
fair.
Is long yeah. since over and past and done, and it's a silly argument to raise, but we still keep raising it because we have this idea of rock and roll as, you know, what they play in the grocery store these days. That's the most dubious thing about getting older is they play your music in the grocery store, and you think, oh, yeah, and then you think, oh, profanity.
Classic rock? This isn't classic rock. What are you talking about?
What do you mean Nine Inch Nails and Smashing Pumpkins is on in the ice cream aisle?
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.